The grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness, and you grace waters in our desert. Open our hearts to be transformed by the new thing you are doing, that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love, given to all through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. You're not going to go? Okay. Oh, you're going to nursery. Here you go.
The reading is from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 126 responsively. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, they were like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they sang among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. To the Son and to the Holy Spirit, that was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Philippians. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached that goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life.
According to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and he used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thus says the Lord, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Isaiah says that there's something new in the air. It's electric. We can almost feel it. We can almost smell it. When I got my car washed, I was asked what smell I wanted. Lemon, vanilla, spring, or new car. New car. Even when something isn't new, we want it to smell like it's new. Thus says the Lord, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Through the prophet Isaiah, God calls the people to smell that new thing that God is doing. Don't keep thinking about the things the way they were, but think about the things that will be. Israel needs to remember that God was capable of great deeds, leading them out of Egypt where they were slaves. But God told them not to get stuck, and just keep looking back. The days are coming when glorious new things would be happening to the people of God, to us. Thus says the Lord, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Here we are, almost to the end of Lent, and we hear this invitation about new things. Have you ever wondered about the purpose of your life? What you are supposed to be doing? How you are to be living out your baptism? According to the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, it would appear that we all have the common purpose to declare God's praise. That's our goal, that's our purpose, that's our aim. In addition to whatever else we might do for God, we are created to give honor and worship to God with our hands, with our deeds, with our lives, in front of me, behind me, above me, below me, in everything we do. In the past week, two of our church members joined the 90-year-old club, Ann Rossell and Vi Madsen. And today we're celebrating Gina's birthday, 96. God, in those people and in all of us, God is creating a new thing. All of us, no matter what our age or our state in life, we are to give praise to God in many and various ways. Thus says the Lord, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Whether you're as old as Sierra, who is now in the quiet room, being less than quiet, whether you're as old as Sierra or as young as Gina, God has given us this new thing. In order to make way for the new, the old has to be given up. According to St. Paul, he tells us that the old has a smell too. He says that the old things have that smell. In fact, the old life without Christ stinks. It smells like garbage, Or if you want a good Greek word, skubala. It even smells, you can't say it without kind of wrinkling up your nose, skubala. It means smelly, stinky garbage. And Paul says, without Christ, my life is skubala. Without life, without Christ, that's the state of our life too. Everything without Christ, I regard as rubbish, as garbage, as skubala. In this letter to the Philippians, Paul isn't sharing these details about his life just so that we can get to know him better. He's telling us about the change of his that has come into his life as a result of knowing Christ my Lord. He's sharing this new perception concerning the purpose of his life. The old way, without Jesus, stinks. He's changed his mind, which is the meaning of the word repentance. He's changed his mind. He's left his former life behind and has launched now into something new that God has in store for him. At AA meetings and at other 12-step gatherings, there always are witness talks. This is what I was like. But now, I'm like this, a new thing. My life was garbage. It was stinky. But now, it's transformed. People in recovery have an edge over other folks in understanding these readings today. People in recovery know what it means to have a changed life, about becoming new. Are there things in your life that need to change? Are there things that need to be left behind in order to live as God has created you to live? In order for you to be this new thing and to declare God's praise in all you do? Once drinking or using, now recovery. Once lost, now found. Once bound in sin, now freed by baptism. Today's gospel is the most fragrant and freeing reading of all. It's Passover time, 6 days before the feast, and Jesus is in Bethany. This is a suburb of Jerusalem. The last time we heard that Jesus was here with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, there was also a smell mentioned, and that reading as well. This time, the first time we hear about Jesus being there, the smell is of a corpse, dead 4 days. And now that stinking body is a new thing. Now Lazarus is at the table with Jesus, eating a meal that is being served by his sister, Martha, the sister who confessed her faith in Jesus outside her brother's tomb. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. Yes, I believe that there is a new thing that is being done through you. In the middle of the dinner party, Mary comes in with a true act of devotion and love. Scripture says, Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. This was indeed a new thing. Mary anointed a living body. That perfume had been purchased to anoint the body of Jesus in his death. And now she was anointing this living body. She witnessed by that action that she believed what Jesus had said about his going to Jerusalem to die. She showed her love her extravagance and lavishness in this act of discipleship. Not only was this anointing of Jesus a foreshadowing of his death and his burial, but by the washing and drying of his feet, she was foreshadowing what Jesus would do at a dinner in an upper room in a few days. That mandate, do this in remembrance of me, as Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, was already being fulfilled in Mary's act of discipleship. But most of all, the extravagant nature of this anointing was a foreshadowing of the extravagance of God's love shown in Jesus, whose outstretched arms on the cross are a sign of that extravagant love. Even the cost of a full year's salary, which was about a little more than that one bottle of perfume that Mary had just dumped out on Jesus' feet. A whole year's salary. Imagine yourself being so lavish and so extravagant that you would spend your 1 year's salary on an act of showing love. What kind of a cruise would you take your friend on for that? The kind of extravagance that was spent, and it was not too much. Nothing could really show the depth of Mary's love and devotion. She was as lavish as she could be, and God is as lavish and extravagant in his love for you and for me. Nothing is held back, not even the death of his son on the cross. God's abundant, amazing, lavish love is poured out on us, even while we are still sinners. Thus says the Lord, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? On this fifth Sunday in Lent, we're standing on the very brink of Holy Week, this time set apart for us to reflect seriously on the ultimate example of God's extravagant, lavish, compassionate love for us. And what a love that is. What a love that is that God has for us, that is poured out for us. We live in a world that desperately needs something new. It will, and indeed it already is, taking place in us. The new thing is happening in us, the baptized children of God, who are smelling the newness of God's spring and living in response to that newness. Thus says the Lord to you today, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Amen.